All right, everybody, this is Connor again. We're going to do another one of these Encyclopedia Brown challenges where I read one of these old mysteries intended for an 8-year-old to Mike and see if he's able to solve it along the way. I think there's a chance if I read these, they're just like lurking in your head, you know, like if you remember something and don't know why you know it, there could just be a subliminal memory of these formative years reading these in your treehouse or something.
It's very weird memory. Like, where are your memories? Because I moved out of a home when I was 3.5 years old. And when I drove back to this town, which I grew up in, I told Bridget, like, I'm just going to find this place with my memory. And I went to it, drove around a really old neighborhood, and I went, that's my house. And I walked up to the door, and I knocked on it, and a really old guy came out. And I said, hey, did you... I know this is a long shot, but... there used to be this like ranger station out in back that my dad built for us. And he goes, yep, I tore that down when I bought it 58 years ago. He was the guy that bought it from my dad. But the point being, somehow my memory of where I lived at 3.5, I could find it without no problem whatsoever. I was like, where is that in my skull? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I almost no like you clue. Have an encyclopedic memory.
We brought it around.
When my friend moved out of our neighborhood in probably middle school, he came back, you know, a year later, and we were like, you know, I had known him since we were 4 or whatever, so we had spent a lot of time in that house. We went over there, and he was like, hey, this is the house I grew up in. Do you mind if I came in and look around? And the guy was like, And now that I live in a house that I own, I'm like, nothing would fill me with greater unease than that happening mm-hmm. to me. No, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, I think that happened to our family once when I was a kid, and I believe my dad was like, nah.
I await the opportunity to do such a thing.
Yes.
Until then, though, let's do a mystery from the first Encyclopedia Brown book, just entitled Encyclopedia Brown, Boy Detective.
Okay.
Which I guess he just wrote one of these and was like, I wonder if this will catch on. And he went on to, I think there's like over 20 of these books. So
that's pretty good.
Probably like, you know, 250 mysteries altogether.
Ah, that's a lot of little tricks to come up with.
So. Yeah, so I imagine by the end of them, he's probably reaching for twists, probably. But yeah, there's 28 books, so that's probably closer to 300.
Wow.
Oh, geez. All right. Well, let's see. We'll see where that gets by the end. But this is from the first one, so this is his A-holster stuff. The Case of Mirko's Grandson.
All right.
And this one involves the infamous, the primary gang of Idaville where this happens. Bugs, Meanie, and the Tigers like to spend rainy afternoons in their clubhouse. Usually, they sat around thinking up ways of getting even with Encyclopedia Brown. But today, they had met for another purpose, to cheer the boy detective on. Encyclopedia and Sally Kimball were about to meet in a battle of brains. The Tigers hated Sally even more than they hated Encyclopedia, and with good reason.
Ah, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. The art of war, here we go.
And this first book sort of builds, they introduce some of the characters, they introduce his whole premise. Every case is 25 cents plus expenses. He sets up in his garage, the townspeople are doing this, coming to him for all these things.
What's his dad's name? Do we get his dad?
Yeah, his dad was Chief Brown. The police chief was in the last one, but brother, what was
Chief Brown? Okay, well, we'll go with that for now. I just wondered if he had a quirky name as well.
Yeah, it says Mr. Brown, Chief Brown, but I'm not sure if they do introduce his parents' full name.
Okay.
So when Sally had moved into the neighborhood 2 months ago, what would be the funniest name? I mean, Charlie Brown would be funny, but is there another famous?
Well,
Brown
since he did Leroy, I just wondered, is he playing with that? Sally Brown, you know. No, Sally's not Sally Brown. What is
her name? It is. Sally is Charlie Brown's sister.
Sally is, okay.
Yes. It was Mordecai. Mordecai, three-finger Brown.
Yes.
Now we know he's doing a joke. Anyway, when Sally had moved into the neighborhood 2 months ago, the Tigers jumped to show off for her. She was very pretty, and she was very good at sports. In fact, she got up a team of fifth-grade girls and challenged the Tigers to a game of softball. The boys thought it was a big joke till Sally started striking them out. She was the whole team, In the last inning, she hit the home run that won for the girls 1-0. But the real blow fell on the Tigers the next day. Bugs was bullying a small boy when Sally happened to ride by on her bicycle. "Let him go," she ordered, hopping to the ground. Bugs snarled. The snarl changed to a gasp as Sally broke his grip on the boy. Before the other Tigers knew what to do, Sally had knocked their leader down with a quick left to the jaw. Bugs bounced up, surprised and angry. He pushed Sally. She hit him again with a right to the jaw. Bugs said, "Ooh," and went down again. For the next 30 seconds, Bugs bounced up and down like a beach ball. By the fourth bounce, he was getting up a lot more slowly than he was going down.
Wow, so she just full-out beat down.
Yes, a guy who has the rest of the kids living in fear. Like, all the other stories in this book are about him swiping tents and, you know, possessions and threatening them. But, yeah, she moves to town.
Wow, Scott Farkas is just getting what's coming to him.
I think that's definitely the model. He's like this sort of like... He looks sort of like Jughead and Archie combined. He like wears a little crown hat and.
Wow, but it's also the prefacing all the things in movies now where women always beat up men, no matter how big they are. So I mean, I don't know if there's any size disparity here, but it's just good to know that he's getting ahead of that thing of any woman can beat up any man at any time.
Yeah, and she. The gang, I mean, he is bullying the kid the next day, but the gang does make time, you know, to play other fifth graders in softball. So they work hard and play hard.
The gang. Hey, guys, you know, I know we're shaking down that, you know, that lame popcorn vendor and his monkey today. But remember, we got to suit up and play that game. We're doing the semis tomorrow. So.
Yeah. Listen, like I know that Mark, you don't have a glove. Like we're gonna get you one. This is what the gang does. We steal, but we also keep people afloat. We help them out when they're down.
Nice job printing the uniforms, guys. I mean, this is really well done.
So yes, okay. He's been getting up a lot more slowly than he was going down. "I'm gonna make you sorry," he said, but his voice was weak, and he wore the sick smile of a boy who had taken one ride too many on a roller coaster. "So," said Sally. She moved her feet and took careful aim. "This," she said, aiming another blow, "should take the frosting off of you." Bugs landed on his back flat as a 15-cent sandwich. Not until Sally had ridden away did he dare get up. So that's some real back-to-back old-timey dialogue there.
That is great to know that a 15-cent sandwich was cheap, you know. you're skimming, you know, that thin sliced meat, just one piece, and that's good to know.
Yeah.
But what did she knock the frosting off?
You should take the frosting off of you.
Okay. Boy, I haven't even heard that in, you know, like a, you know, 30s movie, the Dead End Kids or anything. Like, "Hey, you, I'm just sore as all. This'll take the frosting off of you."
I think that's where this is stuck. They're just the kids who hassled the little rascals grown up a few years.
Do you think we'll see some of these in the final reading of our current book, Artemis?
Oh yeah, I think that might be
the moon. The moon is a collecting place for old timey crap. So this could be.
Yeah, I'm gonna blow up that harvester. See?
Yeah. Yeah, put that charge under there. That should blow the frosting off of this harvester, eh?
Ah, the mob is coming to kill her, and she's quipping like that. But it says, Sally was not content to rest on her victories at softball and fighting. She aimed higher. She set out to prove she was not only stronger than any boy up to 12 years of age in Idaville, but smarter, too. That meant outthinking the thinking machine, Encyclopedia Brown. I mean, it's... Going to war with, you know, someone who's assigned the name Encyclopedia is almost, unless it's ironic, like naming a big guy tiny, that's a tricky proposition.
This is a great setup, though. This is like, you know, Princess Bride with Wallace Shawn sitting at the, you know, sawed-off stump or whatever it is with the two glasses of wine.
A battle of wits.
Yeah.
It is just Sally and Encyclopedia.
Do you think that there's, it's a depressing thought, but do you think there's anyone reading this who is, you know, a current 8-year-old who's being like, I wonder if that's like some form of Wikipedia that he's named after.
Right. I'm sure. I mean, assuming these are are they in print? They can't possibly be.
I mean, that's interesting. When you look for Encyclopedia Brown, it shows back to like the original cover art, and then you have like more modern cover art. The way they've updated, you know, Babysitter's Club and all those things. There's ones that look fairly modern, like. So I don't know the design at least. I don't think they have him on his phone or anything. But
oh yeah. Well, these, you know, with bullying and punching a guy, right. They're probably also like, yeah. We're not in a big hurry to reprint these.
Yeah, then they had a talk about respecting boundaries at school the next day.
Yes.
I lost my page. 1 second. She had to outthink the thinking machine.
Yeah.
The Great Battle of Brains took place in the Tigers' clubhouse. The two champions, seated on orange crates, faced each other. Orange crates, I think, figure prominently in our Nick Nolte novel. Orange crates and then later in the book, papaya crates, which I think
is correct.
Subliminal thing. So that's good to hear, too. So these guys are seated on the two champions are seated on orange crates facing each other. The Tigers crowded behind Encyclopedia. The girls' softball team crowded behind Sally. That left just enough room in the tool shed to think. Everyone stopped talking when Peter Clinton, the referee, announced the rules. Sally has 5 minutes to tell a mystery. She must give all the clues. Then Encyclopedia will have 5 minutes to solve the mystery. Ready, you two? Ready, said the girl champion. Ready, said Encyclopedia, closing his eyes. Go, called Peter, eyes on the watch. Sally began to tell the story. So this is all, I mean, a lot of these build up to frame stories, but this one is pretty shameless and just, she's going to now tell you the mystery that you are doing this whole thing to read.
I just want to point out one thing before I like the framing device. I'm fine with it, is that the softball team is behind her, you know, sort of obviously her crew backing her up and all that. There should be probably a lot of resentment. Like, you know, she's smacking, she's got, you know, she can hit to either field, she can pull the ball, she's like pitching no hitters and perfect games, and these schlubs are like, oh, now we got to go watch, okay, yeah, who's in for this?
Right.
But they all seem to be happy about it, like,
yeah,
no, I think, we love it.
Was it in the last one that also talked about, oh, no, it says this one, she was very pretty as well, so it's Mary Sue much, I guess.
Yes. Anyway, yeah, okay, so here we are.
I think that they're probably those girls have probably been hassled by the Tigers this whole time, and so they're probably if they dislike Sally, they probably more dislike Bugs Meany and the Tigers.
Sure, Bugs sounds like a terrible guy, so yes, I'm all for it.
All right, here's Sally's story, or mystery as they call it. The Great Mirko was the best trapeze artist the world had ever seen. People in every big city were thrilled by the wonderful performer swinging 50 feet above the ground. So this is, again, more old-timiness. This is what a 11-year-old came up with in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
In the year 1922, Mirko died at the very height of fame. In Mirko's desk was found a letter. It was a will written by the circus star. The will directed that the star's money be put in a bank for 40 years. After 40 years, the money was to be taken out and given to Mirko's oldest grandson. If no grandson was alive, all the money was to go to Mirko's nearest relative, man or woman. 40 years passed. A search was begun. At last, a man was found in Kansas City who said he was Mirko's grandson. His name was Fred Gibson. He went to court to claim his inheritance. While the judge was listening to him, a tall woman in the back of the courtroom jumped up. She was very excited. The woman said she was the trapeze artist's grandniece. She kept shouting that the Great Mirko was not Fred Gibson's grandfather, therefore the money was rightfully hers. The judge questioned the woman. He had to agree with what she said. She was Mirko's grandniece, and the Great Mirko was not Fred Gibson's grandfather. Now, concluded Sally, who got Mirko's money, the tall woman or Fred Gibson? Sally wore a smile of triumph as she looked at Encyclopedia. The tool shed was still. That's a great sentence. The boys looked at their shoes. Had Sally beaten them again? Had Encyclopedia met his master? Encyclopedia had 5 short minutes to solve the brain twister. Slowly, the minutes ticked away. One, two, three, four. Encyclopedia stirred on his orange crate. He opened his eyes. He smiled at Sally. "You told it very cleverly," he said. "I nearly said the wrong person, but the answer is really quite simple." He rose to leave. The great Mirko's money went to Fred Gibson. Why did Encyclopedia say that?
Oh, this is a good one. I like this one better. This is trickier. I like that, again, you know, we always like the exact minutes.
Yes.
The minutes
tick
by. 4 minutes of two softball teams of, you know, the girls and boys in a clubhouse.
In a clubhouse with a guy she beat the snot out of the day before.
Right.
Bugs Meany doesn't have that kind of attention span.
What are they doing? I mean, look, I've coached boys. It's you can't keep them still for, that's just amazing.
Yeah,
4 minutes.
One of them has already punched the other one in the nuts just to, is an instinctive thing.
Like 4 times done the, you know, tap with his catcher's glove on the other guy's like, I'm not wearing the cup, dude, stop it. Shut up. And then, guys, come on.
Yeah, come on, there's ladies here. We've opened up our tool shed.
We're at 15 seconds. You guys have made it 15 seconds. And he's got 5 minutes.
The boy genius is trying to solve this mystery.
And stop being overwhelmed by her prettiness. Yeah, she's very pretty. I shouldn't say that. I'm the adult here. All right, I said. Okay, so can you... Here's the question, though. What were the... Can you read the rules again of where the... Transfer of funds. If
sure.
His money
Mirko
goes in.
Died. He died in 1922. They found his will. The will directed the Stars' money be put in a bank for 40 years. After 40 years, the money was to be taken out and given to Mirko's oldest grandson. If no grandson was alive, all the money was to go to Mirko's nearest relative, man or woman. 40 years passed. Do you want me to keep going?
No, that's okay. It. That's it. Not that that helped me much. I believe I am missing something on this one. I'm very ashamed of myself.
Any ideas?
I don't think it's
the tallness comes into
play? I don't
think
he's a grandson. Uh-huh. But he must be he's a nearest relative, but I don't know how.
Okay.
I don't know. I admit I don't know how.
Okay, I'm gonna. This is fun. I sprang a bit of a trap for you here.
Did you know this one just before you?
I can't remember. I read this one a while ago, so I don't remember if I got it right.
And I should
take note of that going forward, whether I can guess these myself. Both the tall. Here's the solution. Both the tall woman and Fred Gibson spoke the truth. Although the great Mirko was not his grandfather, Fred Gibson was the great Mirko's grandson. The great Mirko, as Encyclopedia realized, was a woman.
Oh,
she was Fred Gibson's grandmother.
No.
Oh, I'm so glad that came up last time. Oh, that's perfect. And I will spoil another one. That is one of two mysteries in this book where that is the solution here.
Oh my God.
The second one is literally that the doctor was a woman. So
that's
incredible.
Well, wait, how does that? Oh my gosh. So in the 20s, you know, I'm not saying this is not a thing, but the great Mirko, that is quite a misdirect.
What? Mirko sounds masculine? I mean, I suppose that could be a first or last name, but of all the professions, you think that would be one that might be, you know, it wouldn't it doesn't garner the same as the doctor was a woman in the 20s.
I guess it's just like the Annie Oakley bequeathed all of the Star's money to her. Annie Oakley was a boy.
Short for Anakin.
Okay. All right.
It wasn't that Annie Oakley. That's the twist.
You've just exposed what a sexist I am, I guess. Okay.
All right. So you got the one that relied on a insulated ice pouch, and not the one where the uh, it was the the oldest cliche in the lateral thinking puzzle book.
I'd like to think that I won't do it, but I'd like to think I could edit the section where I said that the doctor is a woman into this.
Play that over, like, yeah.
Somehow transfer it to this, but okay.
Perfect. All right. Well, all right. That's pretty good. 50% on these.
All right. Well,
good times.
I'm going to keep going. And then maybe I'll find one of the latter books that you don't have, and I'll turn the tables
on you. Oh, that'd be fun.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
So long.
All right.